This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C. with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. I'd like to point out an article in the July 18th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine by Kovalchuk and colleagues. They focused on trying to glean more information from the National Lung Cancer Screening Trial. The National Lung Cancer Screening Trial demonstrated that with annual screening with CAT scans, low-dose CAT scans, in a group of patients who were between 55 and 74, who had smoked at least 30 pack years and had stopped but not more than 15 years ago, there was a benefit in terms of mortality reduction due to lung cancer with low-dose CT screening. Now that 20% risk reduction sounds huge, but it's a relative risk reduction. When you look at the number needed to treat, the original authors for the lung cancer screening study estimated that the number needed to treat to prevent one death was 300, or in this case, not really number needed to treat, number needed to screen. So you had to screen 300 people with annual CAT scans, with the risks of false positives, with multiple surgeries, potentially, and actually to show this benefit. And remember that in the lung cancer screening study, the risk of surgical complications was exceedingly low, nearly lower than what was ever reported before. So this number needed to treat, with this concern about external validity, essentially, in terms of the surgical quality, raised concerns in lots of people's minds about the appropriateness of this approach. In addition, certainly offering screening to the huge numbers of people will lead to huge costs, and so we really need to be precise in order to balance risk and benefit, or in essence to try and optimize benefit and minimize the harm of either unnecessary surgery or unnecessary radiation exposure. What these authors, Kovalchuk and colleagues, did was try to recalibrate things, because the lung cancer screening study actually, again, used those very broad criteria, which describes a huge proportion of adult Americans. So what they did was they looked at the 52,000 people who were essentially in the original intention-to-treat cohort from the study, and then developed a risk model to assess the risk of lung cancer. And then once they grouped patients based on their risk, they looked at the yield of the screening in terms of preventing mortality due to lung cancer against the risk of false positives, and also the risk that the patient was going to die of some other disease than lung cancer, right? Because if you're about to die of cardiovascular disease, screening you for lung cancer doesn't make much sense. So they broke the group into quintiles based on their estimated risk of lung cancer, and they developed their own internal model to predict the risk of lung cancer. The quintiles ranged at one end, the lowest quintile for death, from about an annual risk of death of about 0.55% up to about a 2% annual risk of death. That's the highest quintile. And what they saw was, not surprisingly, as your risk for death for lung cancer went up, so did your benefit or your yield from CT screening. In the lowest quintile of risk, so that 0.55% or lower, 0.15 to 0.55% risk of a death due to lung cancer, what they saw was that you needed to screen nearly 5,000 patients to prevent one death, whereas in that highest quintile, it was sub 150 in terms of the number of people you needed to screen. So they really did show that you could calibrate, based on simple clinical variables, the risk-benefit trade-off. And in fact, in the third, fourth, and fifth quintile, which comprised 60% of the populations, that's where they saw 88% of the cancer deaths avoided. So again, the distribution of risk in terms of cancer death was not distributed, or rather the benefit of screening was not distributed evenly. It was best or most valuable in the patients at highest risk for death. Again, not surprising based on what we know about screening tests for cancer. What went into the model was a very complicated model. It looked at competing hazards or risks for death. Again, one cause of death versus another were things such as age, gender, race, BMI, presence of pulmonary comorbidities, and issues about your smoking behavior. It's a very complicated model. It's actually described very clearly, but very mathematically, in the supplementary material. But what these authors did was really provide us a tremendous service to help us, from a public policy perspective, figure out who to offer lung cancer screening to. And so the point is, we shouldn't be doing it for everybody, because again, if you're screening that lowest quintile, you're likely to do more harm than good, and it's never likely to be cost effective. So just like we think about screening for other diseases, where we try to essentially enrich the pretest probability so we get more bang for our buck, it appears that that's going to be a valid and important approach to lung cancer screening. We as pulmonologists shouldn't just be offering lung cancer screening with CAT scanning, essentially, to every patient who met the lung cancer screening criteria for entry, because again, in those patients in the lowest quintile and perhaps the second lowest quintile, we may, in essence, be doing more harm than good when we take into account all the other things that are external to the trial itself. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.